Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Well, what can you learn from the top of a mountain about yourself, about life, healing, and living well? My second guest says you can learn plenty, and she'll share insights and stories from her new book, Mountain Mantras, Wellness, and Life Lessons from the Slopes. That's coming up around 12:30 today. But first, how would you like to be abandoned just because you're no longer as young and cute as you once were, separated from those you thought loved you, moved from the place you call home, and left in a shelter to die alone? Well, the story has a happy ending. It's about gratitude, compassion, love, second chances, and it changed my first guest's life forever. Let me introduce her. She's Laura T. Coffey. She's a longtime writer, editor, and producer for Today.com, the website of NBC's Today Show. She's an award-winning journalist with more than two decades of experience. And Laura's written and edited hundreds of high-profile human interest stories, and she lives right here in Seattle, Washington. Laura Coffey, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. And I want to just say the name of your book, because it is called My Old Dog, Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts. It has lots of pictures in there. I want to just give a shout-out here to your co-producer of the book, if you will, Lori Fusaro. She's a staff photographer at Best Friends Animal Society in Los Angeles and owner of Fusaro Photography, and she does a lot of work, including with Bad Rap, Guide Dogs for the Blind, Angel City Pit Bulls, and other animal rescue organizations. And it's such an interesting story because as a journalist, you know, I mean, people love stories about animals, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And you've written a ton of them. You've written about a puppy who regained her mobility, a puppy who was rescued from abuse, who helped a young boy with autism. You say you've written about iconic dogs, floating dogs, sleeping dogs, military dogs, guide dogs, therapy dogs, cleaned up dogs, and hero dogs. And one day back in the summer of 2013, you wrote a story that changed your life forever. So let's look at how that began for you. It really began with Lori's photographic project, right?
Exactly. I wrote a story for Today.com about photographer Lori Fusaro. She had launched a really beautiful senior dog photography project because she volunteered her time in the very crowded Los Angeles County shelters and noticed that a lot of senior animals never made it out of the shelters, and it was really weighing on her, and she wanted to try to help change people's perceptions of older animals and show how wonderful they are and how much they have to offer and how they shouldn't be overlooked. And so I initially approached her because I saw her photos online and they were beautiful, and I thought, well, this could make a really nice feature story, and interviewed her, and we hit it off. And then from there, I just wrote a very simple, straightforward story in the summer of 2013, and we did a photo gallery of a lot of Lori's beautiful photos, and then that story just took off and went viral. You never know which stories are going to really resonate with people, but this one did. It just touched people to think that these wonderful animals, you know, were being overlooked, and they really shouldn't. And anyone who's had a dog knows how wonderful and sweet they are, and even more well-behaved, dare I say. After age 6 or 7, they make perfect companions.
Yeah. So you really, you're talking about dogs, as you said, 5, 6, 7 years of age and up. I mean, some of them can live to be 16, 17, 18 years old if they're well taken care of and they've got good genes.
Right.
Yeah. So how did this lead then to a book for you?
Well, you know, that story that went so crazy, it got picked up by media outlets all over the world. And Lori and I could tell that this, we were really onto something here, because people just cared about the topic so much. So we ended up being basically approached by an agent and asked to do a project together. And we thought we would team up, and I would write the book, and Lori would take the photographs, and we wound up traveling the country together in search of these really great senior adoption success stories, and it wound up being so much fun. We had never actually met in person, And we wind up. I do live here in Seattle. She lives in L.A. We flew to New York and met in person and for the first time and hugged and rented a car and went on an 8-day road trip.
Well,
we went all over the place, and that was the first of several trips. And together we, you know, I would kind of scope it out ahead of time and make sure we were finding really good, very different, very compelling stories. But we wanted to eyewitness everything and see everything ourselves. And in the course of doing that, we met the most wonderful people, you know, very big-hearted, emotionally generous people who just did this kind thing, not necessarily expecting much in return, but then when they did take in an older animal who had run out of options, their lives got so much better.
Right. Well, it is a book, I want to say, about, I think it's a love story. It's full of compassion and gratitude and second chances. You know, all the things that we like to think we are capable of giving and sharing and embracing in this world. And you say it's the happiest book you'll ever read. Why? Why?
Well, you know, people really have reacted this way to the book, too, that it does make you happy. It gives you this confidence that people are kind and are capable of just exactly what you said, you know, being compassionate and doing something selfless. And then in return, you get it pays big, huge dividends in your own life. And it makes you so happy. And you get so much in return when you help a little creature who has, you know, nowhere else to go. You get affection and gratitude, unconditional love, happy memories, and you get the companionship of a great buddy and a great friend. You know, at that age, over veterinarians consider dogs to be senior if they're large breed at age 6 and if they're small breed at age 7. And anyone who's had a dog, you know that they have a lot, many more years ahead of them, many more years of adventure and fun and everything. But at that age, puppies are fun too, and puppies are wonderful and adorable and cute and all of that, but they are a lot of work. And
right.
And an older dog tends to fit right in with you. They're very focused on you. They love you. They want to be with you. And they tend to behave the way you hope a dog might behave. And they're usually already house trained. They're not into property destruction. They're just into you. And so you get to have this wonderful, you know, less rambunctious, happy, grateful friend.
Right. Well, that leads to a couple of things I want to say. First of all, I want to say my producer here is nodding his head. He adopted an older dog and unfortunately recently lost her. And, you know, Eric, I'm wondering if you took that into consideration when you adopted an older dog. Did that kind of cross your mind? Because I know, Laurie, some of the people you run into probably say that.
I didn't take it into consideration. She was maybe 9. We weren't exactly sure how old. So we thought that we probably had, you know, many years left with her. But, you know, unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. But just a great dog. And so, you know, we really miss her. And I probably wouldn't have taken it into consideration anyway, just because, you know, you've got a great dog, and why would you, you know, think about that? You know, you
right,
think about
right.
the moment, I guess, you know.
Right, so. Yeah. So when you're talking with people, Laura, I mean, how many people consider that when they're looking at an older dog?
You know, this is one of the reasons that these dogs tend to be overlooked in shelters, is because people are thinking it will be too sad. Again, bearing in mind that, you know, it depends on the age of the dog when you take the dog in, that will, of course, have a play a role in how many years you'll get to spend with that dog. But even if some people in the book have taken in very, very old dogs, in thinking that they just wanted to give them a comfortable, happy, safe place to be for the final months of their lives, there are people who do that. That's not for everyone. Generally speaking, though, everyone we met, no matter what kind of pet you have, and no matter how long you have that pet, it's always awful to lose your pet. No one wants to lose their dog or cat. It's terrible. It's very, very difficult. But would that mean that you would never want to take a pet in because you want to forego that potential heartbreak down the road? Usually people decide that having a pet and a nice furry companion in their lives makes life better, and it's worth it. No matter what, you want to have this friendship. And even this aspect, the saddest aspect of this with senior dog rescue, still ends up being joyful and meaningful and important, because in this situation, you know that you've taken a dog who would have died alone in a shelter, as you mentioned at the outset, and you've given them this wonderful, safe, welcoming, happy place to live, and you know you did this very significant thing. And so it tends to be one of the most meaningful forms of adoption,
mm-hmm.
Because you can sense how relieved this animal is to be safe and happy with you.
Right.
And so it's always going to be hard,
right.
No matter how many years you've had the pet, to say goodbye to that pet. We never, ever want it to happen. But there is still something very beautiful about knowing that you did this kind thing and gave them the best time they could have had. And the dog lives in the moment. You know, the dog isn't fretting or worrying about, once they're out of that shelter and that scary, disorienting environment, and then they're safe and happy with you, they're just living day by day. They aren't fretting over whatever condition they might have.
Right, right.
And I think they're enjoying their lives.
Yes, and I think, you know, you never know what a dog's history is. They can't tell you. When I adopted mine, I was his fourth owner, and he was barely 2 years old and seemed depressed for the first couple of weeks I had him until I told him, "You're not going anywhere. You've got me for life, buddy." And he's 10 now, and people still think he's about 5. He's such a big puppy. But, you know, they bring you so much joy. And I want to, I was listening. Let's look at some of the ways that they help people, because I was listening to a story on radio the other day, and I thought at the very time before I saw, you know, before I came into contact with your book, etc., but I thought this guy would have been better off getting a dog, because he fell victim, as did hundreds of other men across America, to a scam. He was sending money to what he thought was a woman. He was kind of catfished, if you will, through this service, and she would write him letters, and periodically she would say, "Oh, I've got to have this or that," and he'd send her more money, and sent her a lot of money, as did hundreds of other men. Well, of course, the courts eventually, the police eventually caught up with this scammer, and the trial is now going on. But I thought at the time, you know, if somebody's really lonely like that, which this fellow was, and so were all the others,
right?
You know, an animal can definitely fill that gap, and they need you.
Right, and they make such great friends, and they give people a great deal of meaning and purpose in life. It's very, and dignity too. It's important to have someone to care for, and when you have someone to care for who is counting on you, it can infuse your whole life with purpose and meaning. And there are some wonderful programs around the country. There are some Seniors for Seniors programs for that kind of match energy levels, match older dogs that are a bit more mellow with older people. Some of the programs are for age 55 and up, some are for age 62 and up, but these programs are remarkable because they'll waive all the adoption fees, and they'll take care of all your initial expenses that would possibly be involved with taking in this dog.
Right.
So all the veterinary costs, including anything that could be very costly, like maybe an older dog would need dental work, that could be expensive, it's all done, and food for a month, medicine for a month, you know, leashes and collars and dog beds and gear, anything you might need to set this person up for success, to take in this little mellow, calm pet who needs a place to go.
Right.
So everyone wins.
Right,
you know, the older person, you know, can have a wonderful friend, and the dog gets a nice safe home, and it's not a big financial burden for the person who takes the pet in. And then a lot of people, you know, who had been dealing with, you know, different, there's a woman in the book, there's a story of Maddie and Maddie. There's a little dog named Maddie who got rescued by a woman named Maddie.
Right. Well, hold that
Maddie
thought.
Laura,
hold that thought for a second,
yeah,
because we do need to take a break. We'll talk about Maddie when we come back.
Okay.
Some of the other stories in the book. We'll take a very quick bullet. Oops, can't speak. We'll take a very quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue hearing stories from Laura's new book. It's called My Old Dog Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Strolling along, it's just me and my dog, catching some sun, we can't go wrong. My life is lonely and blue, yeah, I was sad as a sailor, I was an angry one too, then there was you.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800 1-800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
You listen when your body says, "I'm tired," or "I'm hungry." What if your body said something else might be wrong? Gynecologic cancers, cervical, ovarian, and uterine cancers have symptoms, so pay attention. If your body says something may be wrong, please listen. Learn the symptoms. Get the inside knowledge about gynecologic cancers. A message from HHS and CDC's Inside Knowledge Campaign.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair with Conversations Live. If you'd like to gain more exposure for your business, service, or event, or if you'd like to raise awareness for an issue or topic you're passionate about, call me. Let's talk about ways we might partner to shine the spotlight on you and bring you the recognition you deserve. Call me at 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Listen to podcasts of past shows at conversationslive.net.
Feed your mind and your body and spirit will follow. Alternative Talk, 1150.
I was entangled with youth and fear, and nerves jangled vermouth and beer were getting me mangled up. But then I looked in your eyes, and I was no more a failure. You looked so wacky and wise, and I said, "Lord, I'm happy 'cause I'm just a walking my dog, singing my song."
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And we're talking about, according to my guest, the happiest book you'll ever read. It's called My Old Dog, Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts. It's written by my guest, Laura T. Coffey. And photographs are by Lori Fusaro, who's down in Los Angeles. So, Laura, I have to ask you before we talk about anything else, who's the dog on the front cover of your book? He's so adorable and so wise looking.
Oh, yes. That is Stacy. A lot of people think Stacy's a boy, but Stacy's a girl.
Okay.
And Stacy is a really wonderful little Cocker Spaniel who had been rescued by the co-founders of Old Dog Haven, which is a wonderful organization right here in Western Washington State. They're very active here. Old Dog Haven has a network of about 180 foster homes all throughout Western Washington State where they will pull these senior dogs out of the shelters and then put them in these foster homes where the dogs will spend the rest of their lives. So it's not like fostering a dog for just a few weeks. This is a commitment to take the dog in for the rest of the dog's life. And then Old Dog Haven does this remarkable thing where they cover all the vet bills.
Isn't that,
for that dog for the rest of... So all you have to be willing to do is open your heart and your home to an older animal who needs a nice place to go.
Right.
And then you don't have to have that concern, you know, about veterinary bills,
right?
Because Old Dog Haven covers it because of their donors helping with that.
They're doing amazing work, and they're right here in Washington, Old Dog Haven.
Right.
So let's talk about Maddie, the story about Maddie, because I think that's good.
Yes. So Maddie, you know, is a dog who had been rescued, adopted by a woman in the San Francisco Bay Area named Madeline, and as a child, she also was called Maddie. So they're two, Maddie and Maddie M&M. But Maddie, the woman, at age 75, her husband died very suddenly and unexpectedly. They had been married 43 years. He had been in great health, nothing wrong, and then died very suddenly one day. And she could not pull herself out of very serious depression. She was really grappling with depression and anxiety, and her grown children didn't live near her. They were very worried about her, and they could see that she was not taking very good care of herself. She was having a very difficult time coping with this loss. And one thing leads to another. She ends up adopting a little dog named Maddie through Muttville Senior Dog Rescue, which is a wonderful organization in the Bay Area. And it's through that, after taking in that dog, it was the starting point for Madeline beginning to take care of herself and live again, because she had this little dog. She felt responsible for taking good care of the dog. They start walking. She starts walking all around her neighborhood, and this little tiny dog is a people magnet.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts meeting neighbors, making friends, and one neighbor invites her to go on a day cruise. And so she goes on a cruise and meets more people, and one thing leads to another, and the story turns out so remarkably well, because now when you see Madeline today, she's taking line dancing classes. She volunteers at a women's prison. She sees a personal trainer once a week. She has all of these activities and all of this vibrancy, you know, in her life. But it all began by taking in this little dog who needed a place to go to.
Yeah.
And needed
awesome.
Love as well.
Awesome.
And now she's, Madeline is on her way living, she's living a very rich, very, very happy life now.
Well, you talk also about how they help veterans with PTSD, even though they're not service trained. I mean, just having that dog there. They're also used a lot now as therapy dogs in residential homes. But I want to know how you got to go to George Clooney's house while you're writing this book.
Yeah, that was a real thrill that George Clooney himself actually wanted to participate in this book. We were so happy and grateful about that, because he took in an older shelter dog named Einstein several years back. Einstein had been taken out of a really crowded shelter in California by a group called Camp Cocker Rescue. Einstein is a Cocker Spaniel, is adorable, black Cocker Spaniel. And the rescue group rehabilitated him. The dog had been morbidly obese, had all these health problems, you know, ear and eye problems and a thyroid problem and all these things. And so here are these wonderful volunteers with Camp Cocker Rescue spend a year helping him trim down and get in shape and take care of his health issues. And then they make a really charming video that they put out online about Einstein. And who sees the video and falls in love with this dog but George Clooney? And he fills out a really detailed application to adopt Einstein.
Oh, how cute.
And they're like, who's the applicant here? It's George Clooney. Anyway, it's such a funny, funny story. And there are details about this adoption of Einstein in the My Old Dog book that really haven't been shared anywhere else. It's really funny and adorable. And so he was willing to participate in this, and he let Lori and me, he let us come to his home and hang out with Einstein and photograph Einstein, and it was quite a thrill.
I can imagine. I can imagine. So do you have a favorite story in the book?
Oh, my goodness. It's really hard to say, because the stories are all so completely different. You know, they show people from every imaginable demographic and every imaginable walk of life and income level and geographic area and everything. And the one common thread is that when they did take in an older animal who needed a place to go, it made their lives so much happier and so much better. You mentioned a nursing home setting. There's a story here in Anacortes, Washington, of a dog named Rocky who lived full-time at a nursing home in Anacortes in a memory care unit with a group. He became very bonded, very attached to a group of women with Alzheimer's and other types of dementia. And the women loved him, and he loved them, and they were so attached. And it was remarkable to see how much Rocky helped these women be kind of grounded and have purpose and meaning in their lives, because they felt responsible for helping to take care of Rocky. He looked out for them and was really tuned into how they were feeling. And I mean, these women loved him so much, and they'd remember his name. They wouldn't necessarily remember their own family members' names, but everyone remembered Rocky's name and kept an eye on him at all times, and he kept an eye on them at all times. And that story really struck me, because it also said something. It was an opportunity to explore this issue of more and more nursing facilities around the country allowing pets,
which
is a really wonderful trend, because it does make life so much better.
So let's look at, in the back of the book, you have a great resource guide and just full of information for people who want to adopt, for organizations that will help pay medical expenses if they want to adopt. And for those who can't adopt, they don't have you know, the right kind of circumstances, but they want to help in some way. Just give us a couple of lines on that, if you would.
Yes. So, you know, that resource guide is very extensive. It's 12 pages long, state-by-state guide to help people see how they can get involved with either taking in, adopting, or fostering older dogs. And then if they can't, there's a How to Help section with all sorts of ways that some of these senior-specific rescue groups could use assistance. And even beyond, obviously donations would help, but there are so many ways to get involved and help. Like if you have photography skills, like Lori, providing really good high quality photos of older shelter dogs makes a big difference and increases their chances of getting adopted. If you have experience with grooming, even administrative skills, marketing, and artwork and, you know, all kinds of paperwork, bookkeeping help. These groups would be so grateful for it because they're so overwhelmed and busy caring for the dogs. And so there are a lot of things to do, a lot of ways to get involved. There's even the Gray Muzzle Organization has this really wonderful orthopedic bed fund where you can donate orthopedic beds to older dogs who are living in shelters. And then when those older dogs are off the hard floors and they're on a nice cushy bed, then they tend to limp less, and that increases their chances of getting adopted from the shelter. So, you know, even just providing some beds, I mean, there are so many things to do can make a big difference.
Yes, and there's a huge need for this. So I think the work that you both have done is awesome because it really highlights just how fabulous these animals can be even in later years. I read a story about Harley. I think it was on a blog, actually. But he was missing an eye. His legs are deformed. His tongue sticks out of his mouth. And he was acknowledged as a hero.
Yes, he was. And so Harley is a dog. You know, we had the privilege of meeting Harley this year at the American Humane Association's Hero Dog Awards in Los Angeles. And so we met him after the book had already been printed. But Harley was rescued at age 10 from a puppy mill. He's a puppy mill survivor. And that's just a very remarkable story because it puts a spotlight on puppy mill conditions and how bad they are, you know, for the dogs who are living there for years of their lives. And Harley, you know, really had not been treated well and had not gotten any kind of care throughout his lifetime. But he got rescued, and then even a dog who, in that kind of situation, he's a tiny little chihuahua. He's only 6 pounds. He's so remarkably small when you see him in person.
He's the cutest chihuahua I've ever seen.
But even that dog is thriving, and he blossomed once he ended up in a nice home and felt safe and welcome. He's completely fine now. He's not dwelling on the past. He's not, you know, fretting over what happened in the past. He's completely focused on how happy and wonderful life is now for him. And he's making a big difference now because he won that Hero Dog Award, you know, designation.
Right.
This year, it's able to put a spotlight on, you know, the conditions in puppy mills.
Right. Well, excellent work. And who doesn't love dog stories? But, you know, this is also important because 3 to 4 million cats and dogs every year are euthanized. So if we can help them a little bit, and, you know, I talk with many experts on the secret of happiness, and gratitude is what consistently comes up. And these are grateful, grateful dogs.
That's right. And then the people who take them in are grateful too, because their lives really do improve. And it just is such a wonderful thing to do. And you know, you mentioned that population that gets euthanized. I mean, the older dogs tend to make up the bulk of that, and older dogs and cats. And you know, it really shouldn't be that way. They are the perfect pets. This is an age where you really want to let them in,
right?
It's just such a great and happy and wonderful thing to do.
So I read that Laurie said, she was a photographer, and she said she had an idea of every shot that she wanted for each and every dog in the book, but didn't get one of them. how did you know when that was the shot?
You know, Laurie is so amazing, and it was wonderful to watch her work, all her tricks up her sleeve for getting the dogs to look at her and look right directly into the camera, so she captures their personality and that spirit and that zest for life that they have. She has this uncanny knack for capturing their true personalities, and you can see it. And some are couch potatoes, and some are wanting to run and play, and she will get them doing what they want to do. So it's just so funny because, you know, there were moments where we were in situations with, you know, bad weather or, you know, not really great light, and, you know, situations like that where she cares so deeply about what she's doing. I could tell she was really fretting, and then she would manage to get that shot. She has noisemakers and treats and all kinds of tricks to get them to give you that cute quizzical look. It's really fun. She should do a workshop just so we could all get better photos of our own pets.
There you go. They say never work with children or animals, but boy, you guys did an awesome job. The writing and the photography in this book, it is awesome. It's called My Old Dog Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts. And I saw you're coming to talk this weekend, right?
So yes, we have two great bookstore events this weekend at 10:30 on Saturday morning, we'll be at Page 2 Books in Burien. And then at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, we'll be at the University Bookstore in the U District. And they're both, we'll have Old Dog Haven representatives at both events. Also, the Seattle Animal Shelter will be there on Saturday afternoon as well. And we will have a dog sweater contest on Saturday afternoon. People are encouraged to bring their dogs
and dress them up in holiday sweaters, right? I would be there.
The winner gets a copy of the My Old Dog Book.
Oh, okay. Well, that's awesome. The winner gets a copy of My Old Dog Book. Well, I would be there, but I'm at TEDx on Saturday. But again, the times are this Saturday, Page 2 Books, Saturday, November 21st, 10:30 a.m. and 3 p.m. November 21st at University Bookstore. And take your dog and dress him up, him or her up.
Right.
And a very quick final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with, Laura.
You know, I would just encourage people not to be afraid to open your heart and your home to an older pet. It's not a sad thing. It's a happy and joyous and celebratory thing, and you'll never, ever regret it.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for being with us today. Love talking with you.
Oh, thank you, too, very much.
My guest, of course, Laura T. Coffey. She was the writer of this book, My Old Dog Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts, and Laurie Fusaro, the photographer. And you can find out more about them and see some of the pictures at myolddogbook.com, myolddogbook.com. All right, please do stay with us when we change. When we come back, we're going to change gears and we're going to go up the mountain. We're going to talk about mountain mantras. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Do you love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping PAWS care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit PAWS.org or call 425-787-2500.
You listen when your body says, "I'm tired," or "I'm hungry." Are you listening? Would you listen if your body said, "I have pain and pressure in my abdomen. I feel bloated for no good reason," or "I get too full too fast. I'm spotting, but I've already gone through menopause." Or, "I have to go to the bathroom more often and more urgently than usual." These can be signs of a gynecologic cancer, like cervical, ovarian, uterine, vaginal, and vulvar cancers. Symptoms aren't the same for everyone. If your body says something may be wrong, please listen, learn the symptoms, and get the inside knowledge about gynecologic cancers. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Next week on Conversations Live, New York Times bestselling suspense novelist Tess Gerritsen traded her stethoscope and medical career for a pen and literary career. She joins Vicki to discuss her latest psychological thriller, Playing with Fire. We'll also hear the haunting music she composed for the story. Join us every Monday at noon right here on Alternative Talk 1150 and listen to archive shows at conversationslive.net.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk 1150 covers it all.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And if you're looking for inspiration to tackle life's challenges, if you're looking for simple ways to live more fully, with more energy, with greater success, my next guest has some great tips in her new book. It's called Mountain Mantras, Wellness and Life Lessons from the Slopes. Let me introduce my guest. She is Catherine Kemp Guillet. She's the founder and executive director of Nurture, a nonprofit organization dedicated to improving the nutrition and wellness of children and families. She's also a principal at Healthy Solutions of Sun Valley, a certified nutritional counselor and successful management consultant. Catherine Kemp-Guillet, welcome.
Thanks so much, Vicky. It's a delight to be on your show.
Well, I'm very pleased to have you, and we're going to look at the mountain mantras and how that can help us in our life. But before we do that, I'd like to just tell our listeners a little bit more about you and where you were and what you were doing. You were a very successful management consultant. You had a busy life. Your husband had a great job, nice home, living in the city. What was going on, and what was the trigger point that turned things around for you?
You know, and I get this question a lot because it is a big change to go from a city like Chicago with millions of people to Sun Valley, which Sun Valley proper only has 1,500 people in it. And, you know, the valley in total probably has between 15 and 20,000. So it was a huge change. Yes, it was a huge risk, professionally speaking. And we didn't know what our kids were going to think. But you asked about a trigger point, and there really was one. There was a point. My husband and I went to a movie, and it was called The Race to Nowhere. And we walked into that theater thinking that we were kind of living the dream. You know, our kids were very busy, and they were signed up for all the right activities. And we had this, you know, spreadsheet that kept all of us, you know, organized, right, everything, thinking that we were, you know, providing the life that they needed. And that movie left us in tears because it really talked about how we are giving so much pressure to our children today that it's actually quite unhealthy for them.
Mm-hmm.
And this linear approach is actually detrimental. And the movie was dedicated to a 14-year-old girl who had taken her life because of all of the stress that had been placed on her. It was very much an emotional hit over the head. And so that was really a trigger point where we needed to look at ourselves and say, what are we doing here? All parents want the best for their children. And we just needed a dramatic shift away. We knew we were both type A's at heart. And so that wasn't going to help the situation. But really being able to connect with nature, that's when we always felt when we were most grounded and that we felt most connected as a family. So it's really, for us, it's been about getting back to nature.
Right. And, you know, not an easy adjustment for you, though, to begin with, because it is a big, huge change. So what did you do as a, you know, a career-focused person, as a mom who wanted the best for her kids? What did you do yourself to make that transition more smooth?
Well, you know, and change is one of those things that's always going to be there. So I think being comfortable with change is a really great thing. It's a great skill to develop. I read the book, Wherever You Go, There You Are, as one of my starting points. And I encourage anyone that's, you know, thinking about a big change to read that, because I don't think that moving to a small town can solve everyone's problems. I don't think that you know, change happens externally. I think it happens from within. And so we could very easily, or anyone could very easily, move to a very remote place and be just as busy as before, because you can always create busyness.
Mm-hmm.
So we made sure to make the change about more than just getting in our car and driving 1,500 miles.
Right.
We made it more about really thinking deeply about what we wanted and how we were going to make that happen. And it wasn't overnight. I mean, we're still working on it.
Right. Well, I want to just say that, you know, the book here has you created a 6-step framework, which you refer to as the mantras. It's not about skiing, although you use some of the lessons from skiing to parlay into the book. And it begins with mantra 1, which is change your lens on life. And there's a quote in here by, actually, he's been on our show, Baptiste Pape, one of my favorite guests, author of The Power of the Heart. And he says, gratitude, the ability to count your blessings, is the ultimate way to connect with the heart. And since we talked so much about gratitude in our first segment today, how important is gratitude to you, and how did that change, or how has it changed the way you look at things?
Oh, gratitude is key. And it's such a great topic, actually, as we move into the, you know, season of Thanksgiving. And I think Thanksgiving can just be a little kick in our behinds to get us to do more gratitude exercises all year round. We don't just spend one day being thankful. We really need to build gratitude into every single day. So I think, number one, that it's absolutely critical. I think it builds to this whole idea of positive psychology, and how you view the world is how it's going to treat you back. But just these small steps that you can take when you wake up in the morning. You know, think thankful for the day, thankful for your first breath, thankful for some things that you're looking forward to. And as you move through the day, taking a few moments every day to be thankful for you know, I'm thankful for the blue sky here. You were saying, oh, you're thankful for that introspective writing day, you know, those gray,
the gray
days.
Yes.
Yeah, those are wonderful.
Well,
too.
A friend emailed me the other day when it was pouring with rain, and she just put a subject title in there saying, I can't remember what it was now, something like lots of rain equals lots of writing.
And that's such a great way of looking at it. I mean,
yes.
there's something wonderful to be said about every circumstance and every you know, day of weather. But then again, I just, on the gratitude, I think a really important thing is, you know, as you sit down for meals with family members, what are we thankful for today? And then just this own, your own personal practice before you go to sleep, being thankful for some things that happened to your day. And then it starts to build. And I do believe, like we were talking about the power of the heart, that you can manifest your life, and manifesting from the heart is really the best way to manifest.
Mm, you talk a lot about smiling. Now, when you're in management consultant, you're working with the public, you're working with CEOs, you know, it's kind of a personality thing. You're expected to smile a lot. But it really can help you when you're not feeling so great, too, and it helps others, lift others around you. So talk to us about the power of smiling.
It's amazing. I mean, the mind-body, we know, is connected. It's an integrated mm-hmm. system. And so what we do physically affects our mind and vice versa. So even when we're not having, you know, the easiest circumstances, we can actually smile, and then that sends a signal to our brain that, hey, it can't be that bad. You know, when we're being hunted, you know, or when our ancestors were in the wild and there was this the tiger, the saber-toothed tiger that was hunting them, you know, we didn't stop and smile, right? We were probably panting, and that sends a signal to the brain that, yes, fight, flight, or freeze. But it's the same way with positive body positioning or positive gestures. So smiling then creates this feedback loop that, hey, maybe cortisol can lower, maybe the feel-good chemicals can raise up. Same thing with, you know, taking a superwoman pose, putting our hands on our hips. That sends a signal that we're powerful. Testosterone goes up. We feel a little bit stronger. So I'm a big proponent. There's a lot of science behind it, but I'm a big proponent of body language and how that affects how others perceive you. We also benefit other people, because when we smile, there's this thing called mirror neurons, and then other people are likely to smile. And that's fantastic, because we're not only helping ourselves, but we're helping others.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it's physically impossible, unless you're crying from laughter, to cry and laugh at the same time.
Right, physically
impossible.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's something we can do for ourselves and for our community.
So we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, I want to look a little bit more in detail at the Six Mountain Mantras. The book is called Mountain Mantras, Wellness and Life Lessons from the Slopes. And my guest is Catherine Kemp Gailey. We'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Listen, baby. Ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide.
Let's see if I guess that this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicky St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicky partners with people just like you, at the exact level you need. Whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services, if you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicky today. Email Vicky at VickySt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7000. 7617. See more about Vicki and her work at VickiSt.Clair.com.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Burlingame Veterinary Consulting, we cover the world of animals. This week, November 22nd, it's time to learn about the benefits of Chinese herbs for us and our animal friends. Tia and David Akrish, owners of Heaven and Earth Chinese Herb Healing Center, join me in the studio. We'll get to know them and find out about the services and products they have to offer, and we'll have open phone lines for questions and free consultations. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Next week on Conversations Live, New York Times bestselling suspense novelist Tess Gerritsen traded her stethoscope and medical career for a pen and literary career. She joins Vicki to discuss her latest psychological thriller, Playing with Fire. We'll also hear the haunting music she composed for the story. Join us every Monday at noon right here on Alternative Talk 1150 and listen to archive shows at conversationslive.net.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to brighten your day.
Three ways to listen. On the AM dial at 1150, on the FM HD dial at 98.9 HD3, or online at 1150kknw.com. One great station. Alternative Talk, 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest in this segment is Catherine Kemp-Galay. Her new book is called Mountain Mantras, Wellness and Life Lessons from the Slopes. And if you're just joining us, this isn't a book about how to ski, but it certainly helps you put your ideas and thoughts and reflections together, right, Catherine?
Yes, we were just saying how the conclusion is where I actually test the mantras to see if they work, because I don't want to give anybody a set of mantras if I haven't tested them very thoroughly myself.
Yeah, so let's take a look at those. So mantra number one is change your lens on life. How did that apply to writing of the book?
So that's all about positive psychology, and again, looking at the glass being half full, not half empty. And I really had to keep checking my attitude. Like, am I having fun? Well, am I working with people that I enjoy?
That was big to you, right?
That was huge. I really didn't want to take on a project as big as a book if I wasn't having a good time. So just keeping that in mind as I was going helped me to shift if I needed to make a shift.
Okay, and mantra, sorry, caught me taking a sip of water there. Mantra number two, get some good boots on.
And that's all about foundation. And I will just say from the skiing metaphor, it's all about skiing. It starts in your feet. Really good skiers really know the nuances of the techniques in their feet. And so I just use that to parlay into so many other areas of our life. Architecture, a great house starts with a great foundation. And in our human lives, you know, our education and our experience all add up to be the foundation from which we are successful. In a book, wow, you know, we think of a book as being all about writing, maybe going to a cabin and having these, you know, creative moments, but
yeah, in your dreams, right?
I mean, it really involves a lot of foundation building around how the whole industry works, how a timeline works, how a marketing plan works and publicity. I really just had to get my good boots on when it came to having a foundation and how the industry worked before I could really expect to be a player in it.
And mantra number three, zoom out for the best view. And this is all about big picture perspective.
Yes, and that is so important in today's world of our to-do lists. And we were talking about how our kids are under so much pressure. Well, we are too. And we get very, at least I tend to get very overwhelmed with the details, and I get myopic. And then we need to be reminded to zoom out. What's really important here? And in writing this book, I really wanted it to be a grassroots-driven, really community-driven book that had an authentic tone and a warm voice. I also really wanted to give back. I've been in the nonprofit world for about 10 years now, and I know how important it is to work together. So I'm giving 20% of the book's proceeds away. 10% always goes to Fast and Female, and that's a fantastic organization where women mentor, actually Olympians, incredible professional athletes mentor young women to keep them in sports and keep them living a healthy lifestyle. And then each month I have a different nonprofit that I support. This month I'm supporting Wild Gift, which is an organization that develops entrepreneurs by taking them out into the wilderness and actually applying a, you know, very similar framework around how can we learn from nature and how that, can we take it back and be better and more successful in our lives.
Oh, awesome, awesome. And mantra number four, plant your poles. You say having a long-term vision is a great place to start. And in your book, you say you thought to yourself how great it would be to start this book when the ski lifts closed for the season and publish it by the next season. Perfect timing. So did that happen?
It did. And it would have never happened if I hadn't planted the pole, meaning set my goal. I mean, and in skiing, you know, every time you turn, you really have to set an intention or set a goal. And it helps you to break down a really long, potentially scary and overwhelming run into just, it's just one turn that connects another turn, and that's how you get down. And so with writing the book, I needed to set that end point. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to make it? You know, and then it was breaking it down. What do I need to accomplish, you know, month by month, a work plan? You know, some of the things that I learned in management consulting really came into play there. But breaking down that vision was key.
Yes, yes. And this is me when I'm skiing. Mantra five, embrace the yard scale. And for those who don't know, yard sale is an affectionate term for when you fall and lose all of your equipment.
And good
something
you,
I'm very familiar with.
Yes, and good that you embrace the yard sale. You know, I learned how to embrace it from watching my kids and how much they would learn by their falling. And it's really just about learning from failures. And in all the research that I did for this book, I found that so many, and every successful person is going to have a series of major failures that typically lead to their success. And so in this book, again, I had so many failures. I had to restructure it, and I had beta readers that called the baby ugly, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good to get that really great feedback, and I could have looked at it as, yard sale, lost all my equipment, it's a failure, can't go on. But instead, I just picked it all up, got it all organized, and learned from it.
Yeah. And I love the last one, mantra number six, throw yourself down the mountain. This is where you've got to really pull it all together and just follow your gut and go with it. And, you know, some of the things you went through when you were writing this book were, what if everybody hates it? Carry on.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the biggest fear. I mean, with any creative endeavor, it's very difficult to put it out there because, like I said, you know, somebody could call your baby ugly, and that is going to happen. So throwing yourself down the mountain is about letting go. I mean, when you're at the top of the mountain and you've got gravity actually working for you as you come down, you've got to commit into that fall line, and that's the only way that you can successfully get down. And with, you know, this launching of a book, yeah, I had those fears, and I wanted to hold back, but I really just had to fully commit and engage. And it's been fun. Just like throwing myself down the mountain on my skis is a ton of fun once I'm doing it. It's the same thing with running, with writing and having a book. Is once it's out there, it's just been so much fun. It's wonderful to talk to people like you, and it's just I love hearing from readers.
Yes, yes. Well, at the end of each chapter, you have a list of action items from that particular chapter. And what I like is that you've broken it down into three parts. Tips for success in life, for success on the slopes for those who do ski, and tips for success in wellness. Final thoughts you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
Well, and I think it's great that you started out by saying that you don't have to be a skier to enjoy this book. And what it does, though, is it provides a fresh, new perspective on what I think of as being sort of universal principles. So if you're ready for a warm, hopefully humorous tone, I hope you enjoy it. There's information at mountainmantras.com, and it's obviously at Amazon as well.
And what's next for you? I know you've got something in the pipeline.
I do. I still am running my nonprofit, and that's you can find information at nurtureyourfamily.org. But I do think that there's going to be another Mountain Mantras book, at least one coming out. So I will keep you posted for sure.
Awesome. Thank you. Catherine Kemp-Galay is my guest. Excuse me. Her book is Mountain Mantras, Wellness and Life Lessons from the Slopes. And you can find out more at mountainmantras.com, mountainmantras.com. Catherine, thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It was a ton of fun.
Yeah, it was. And I want to thank each of our listeners for joining us today, because, of course, without you, we wouldn't be here. So thanks for spending this hour with us. And thanks for Eric, our producer, for keeping us live today. You can find out more about us at conversationslive.net. You can find us on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair and on Facebook at Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback on today's show, if you're interested in any of the resources that either of my guests shared, you can reach me at 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617, and email at info@conversationslive.net. Until next week, we'll have a brand new show for you. Live well, live strong.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.